Happy Sabbath to all. Well, once again, welcome. Good to see you. And I hope that you will enjoy our message tonight, this evening. With all prayers. And our key text as it's been... Oh, let me turn this on for a second. There you go. We have read this one all every day, every night for this week. I hope that you will have taken it by heart now. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm, because the evil day will come. And we actually face evil days every day. There's always something going bad. Always. But all of us are going to be tested. And are you going to be able to withstand that test? See, those tests is to reveal who you really are. One of the things that we learn from Scripture, one of the things that we learn from Jesus is that the tares and the wheat grow together in the church, true or false? True. And when are we going to know the difference? When are we going to know who's who? Until when? Until the very end. So who are you? Who am I? Those are the things that we got to be thinking on. That we got to meditate on. And in order to withstand that evil day, you need to take the full armor of God and do everything that is required. Remember, you do something, God will do the rest. But you need to take action in some things. And we have seen several items of the armor. Tomorrow morning, we'll see the last one. Today, like I said in one of the evenings, metaphors can only go so far. And Paul did not assign a specific item of the Roman armor to this item tonight, which is prayer. At the very end, after he describes all the items of the armor, he says, with all prayer, having done everything to stand firm, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all what? Saints. So we have prayer, and where's the other one? Petition. So he mentions prayer 3 times in one text. So how important is prayer? How's your prayer life? Good, bad, so-so. You fall asleep when you're praying. You forget to pray when you get up in the morning. You forget to pray for your food. Or do you have those intimate times with Jesus that you will like when you call a friend? When you talk to a friend, you speak for hours, minutes, seconds. Let me show you a video, and maybe you might need this. I think sometimes I do need it.
A phone that plays music, connects to the internet, and displays HD movies. You thought it couldn't get any better. Then we added a garage door opener, TV remote, paper shredder, handheld vacuum, and scale. You thought you'd seen it all. You didn't think we could add a cheese grater, an electric air pump, a lip balm dispenser, a beard and nose hair trimmer, or a taser. You never thought you'd be performing LASIK surgery on yourself, fishing, or rotisserieing a chicken. What could we possibly add to a phone that can launch itself into suborbital spaceflight, predict the weather, detect the smell of fear, and indicate who your soulmate will be with 97% accuracy? How could it possibly get any better? Well, it has. Our latest accessory is Intercessory. A gentle electrical jolt reminds you to pray without ceasing. If you're unsure of who or what to pray for, just give it a shake and have random apps of kindness pick for you. Or, if you just don't have time, use one of our pre-recorded prayers for all occasions.
God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for this food.
Thy phone. Solving life's dilemmas, one 3G prayer at a time.
How about that? A phone that will shock your hand in case you forgot to pray. Or in case you don't know what to pray about, shake it, and it'll tell you wife, kids, and randomly. Or if you really don't have to pray, just turn the automatic prayer on and it'll pray a recorded prayer. How's your prayer life? What is prayer compared to? What's on the screen? A key, right? And yes, it is a key. Now, what's the purpose of a key? This is what dictionary.com says. A small metal instrument, the key, especially cut to fit into a lock and remove its ball. So it has a special cut. This one only has two teeth. But anyways, that's an old key. So a special cut that will fit into a specific bolt so you can turn the bolt and remove it. This is how it works. I don't know if you're familiar with keys and bolts and locks. I worked with a maintenance man for a little bit, and he showed me how it works. So I was amazed because I was, wow. Anyways, so this is a lock. Here's a cylinder where the key goes in. There's a few pins, a couple of springs. And in order for the key or the bolt to turn, the cylinder to turn, you need to be level with this crack, all these pins. Otherwise, these pins prevent the bolt to turn. So once you put in the key, you raise up the pins, and then it'll line up with the cylinder, and voila. That's how it works. And that's why when it's cheaper to re-key your locks than to put new locks. I mean, I've done this in several of my churches. It's cheaper just to relock, so we call it, locksmith, and he will do it for $10 a piece or something. When you buy a new lock, it's $15, $20, $30, depending on which one you want. So that's how it works. So nowadays, there's a great number of keys. Can you guess where these keys go? You've seen that one, right? You probably have a handful of those in your pocket. These usually go to regular locks, usually doors. How about this one? A car, yes. How about that one? A what? Yeah, it's a USB, but it's actually a key. So what might open? Computer, server, something electronic. I actually have one of those with me. A hotel key, it's a door key. How about this one, though? Can you guess where that one goes? Huh? No, it's not a car key. That's actually a door key. Some places in Asia are becoming completely keyless. So as long as you have that one in your pocket, you get near your home, your house door, and it'll shrimp. It'll make a nice, beautiful sound, say, tell you the door is unlocked, you can open. But that's a door. Well, that's probably from the Fisher-Price truck. So you see there's different types of key. How about this one? Maybe Brian is familiar. Some of you might be familiar with those keys that open software. So see, there's different types of keys. Now, which one do you think this key opens? Wow, you know your Bible. That's good. This is what Sister Mrs. White says in Steps to Christ, page 93. Prayer is the key in the hand of the faith to unlock heaven's storehouse where our treasure, the boundless resources of the omnipotence. What is in store? Resources. What are you lacking? What do you need? There's a place where we have those resources, but we need to unlock the door. See, the Bible teaches that prayer is the way we communicate with our Heavenly Father. Daniel 9:3 says, "So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him by what? By prayer." Sister White also wrote, "Prayer is it's communion with God. It is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it is necessary in order to make known to God who we are, but in order to enable us to receive Him. Prayer does not bring God down to us. It brings us up to Him. So prayer enables us to what? To receive Him. How do you come to know a person? You spend time. You talk. How you come to trust a person? By spending time. How do you spend time with a person? Usually by communicating with them. That's how you get to know them. Know their thoughts, their feelings, their likes, dislikes, what they want in life. So this is how we communicate with God. This is how we are able to receive Him, who He is. So why does it seem sometimes that our prayers are not answered? Have you had that question before? Have you asked that question before? It seems that your prayers are just not answered at all. Prayer is a key. Prayer is a key to unlock heaven's storehouse. And just as our house keys is needed to lift up the pins in the lock of heaven's storehouse. There's some things that we gotta do, I think, in order to get our prayers answered in the way that we're looking. And let me show you those pins tonight so you're aware of them. First of all, you need faith. The Bible says in Matthew 21, 22, and all things you ask in prayer, what? Believing, you shall receive them. It's not saying by trusting. Remember the difference between trust and belief, right? The illustration of the girl who fall back and you're not back there. See, it's not about trusting Him that He is there to catch you. It's by believing that He is there and He will catch you. It's different. So you got to believe that you will receive them. Second, and that's the key. The second is obedience. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. John 15:7. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and we do the things that are pleasing in His sight. So there's a couple of things that we got to do. So obedience is the first pin. The second pin is we need to start asking what is right. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on who? On yourself. Sometimes when we speak to God and we use the I too much, maybe we're doing something wrong. Me, I, myself, I done this, I did that, I didn't do this. Let's try to spend more time on others than ourselves. Do you remember what happened to Job? It's the Bible. The Bible says in Job, I can't remember the chapter. You can look it up. But it clearly says that he was to pray for his friends. And when he started to pray for his friends, he started to become healed again. When he lost focus on himself and focus on his friends. Let's not try to spend so much time on ourselves in prayer. And ask what is right. Forgiveness as well is another pin. Very important one, I should say. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your transgressions. Mark 11, 25. It's a very important part of us for prayer. Forgiveness. And probably forgiveness does more good on us than on the person that we are forgiven. Because when we forgive, Not forget, it's too different. But when we forgive, we're letting go. We're letting go of the bad feelings, the anger, everything that is negative that we feel towards that person. So we need forgiveness, not so much to liberate them, but to deliver us from them. Very important. Intercession, that's the fourth pin. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 18, 19. This is Jesus speaking. Don't pray by yourself. Get a partner. Pray with somebody. Because when two come in prayer and two agree on anything, the Father will answer that prayer. So if you're praying for your husband who's ill, your father who's ill, your wife or your children, children that probably left the church, don't pray by yourself. Get someone else to pray with you with that prayer. Or you're praying for someone to come to know Jesus, a family, a relative, a neighbor. Get someone else to help you with that prayer, to pray for you, to intercede for you and for that person. And when two agree in something, then God will what? Will do it. Shall be done. He shall take care of it. Last pin is perseverance. Now he, Jesus, was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose what? Heart. This is the story where this widow came to the king all the time, and the king was a very evil person. He did not want to listen to her, but it came to the point that he was just tired of listening to this old widow. And finally he said, you know what? Before I go crazy and nuts, bring her in and tell me what she wants. We're not saying that God is crazy and evil, but we're talking about perseverance. And the widow will not leave the king's house, the king's door, until she had a hearing with him. So it's the same thing with us. We need to persevere in prayer. And also ask in the name of Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, He will give it to you in my name. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be what? Full. So we need to ask in His name. And when we ask in His name, then the storehouse of heaven, it's open. And we should be able to take this to God and say, look, that's the beautiful thing about that. You can come with boldness to God and tell Him. Why? Because He has told you what to do in order for Him to answer your prayers. And He will. He's not going to back down. Probably one of the most bold persons that I know. I met him over this last January. He has an awesome testimony. He came out of the gay culture. Pastor Ben was in those meetings too, and just the way he approached God, because he took Him at His word. See, there are things that we believe or we have come to believe about homosexuality. They either born with it or they become, right? And one theory is that actually they're born with it. If they weren't born with it, they can't change it. It's their nature. True, false, or true? Well, all depends what you view. But if they are born with it, they can't change it. It's like me, born as a man, I can't change that fact. I'm a man. If I was born as a woman, I can't change that fact. I was born as a woman. If I was born gay, I'm gay. I can't change that. So him took what he knew of God and he came boldly to God and said, God, if you did not make me this way, then you need to answer me, why am I this way? And God answered that prayer. And he led him to understand why he became gay. But he was bold. He was not ashamed. And I believe that in our prayers, we need to be bold. We need to be humble. We need to know our place. But at the same time, we need to take God at His word. Now, there's a passage in the text that says, now it came to pass, and this is in Luke, as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. You need to have faith. The Father does exist. The Father is in heaven. His name is hallowed, and His kingdom is coming. It's not about trusting Him. It's about believing in who He is and that He actually exists. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Obedience. Give us day by day our daily bread. That's right. And He's saying, give us. He's not saying, give me. Give us our daily bread. Forgiveness. And forgive our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. That's intercession. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, interceding for one another. Because He's always using us. He's not using I. And of course, we need to persevere in prayer as we saw it on that parable of Jesus. Perseverance. Pray without ceasing, says Paul, throughout the day. Say conversation with God about anything that is going on in your mind. Just like you talk to a parent, like you talk to a son, like you talk to a friend, like you talk to your husband, your wife. That's what prayer is about. Remember, prayer is about to get to know God, to receive Him. There's some things that we got to do for get some specific answers. But in reality, prayer is about a relationship with God. We need to get to know Him. Remember that there will be some in the very end that will say to Him, Lord, in your name we cast out demons. In your name we heal. In your name we even resurrect people. In your name we did all these kinds. And what did the Lord said to him? Be gone. Evildoers, I do not know you. Do you think the Lord didn't know them? The Lord knows everything. They didn't take the time to get to know God. And I will close with this. And He's the one that cleanses us of all unrighteousness. I wish they just could have put a drip as they were pouring the water, and you will see that it'll do some tainting, but it will not go all the way down. It will come out. And that's what prayer does. It helps us to stay connected with God, to know who He is. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, stand firm with all prayers, with all perseverance. And I hope that as you see how each part of the armor works, you will see how it can change your life. And tomorrow we will see the last piece of the armor. We still need to talk about the shoes. And that's what it glues everything together. Let us stand for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, you have left behind this great and awesome tool, prayer. We can grab it and use it anywhere we are, wherever we're doing. We can just tune with you and let our minds, our thinking go towards you and speak to you. Father, it's not about us telling us what we need. It's about receiving you. It's about making a relationship with you. Lord, help us to have a more time to pray. That we will use this to get to know you to a better and deeper level day by day. That we will use this to help others, to intercede for them. That we will use this for the Spirit to abide in us. Lord, thank you for your love and for your kindness, and thank you for the sacrifice you've done for us in the cross. And thank you for giving us back again our last name, children of God. May you bless everyone that is here tonight, those who cannot come, and Lord, may this Sabbath be delightful to each and every one of us as we come nearer to you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow will be our last subject, the shoes of the Roman soldier.